right, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 8, we continue in the book of Acts this morning, and we are in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. If you'll follow along in your Bible, well, I'll read from mine. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to look into your holy word. And I pray, Lord, that once again you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would proclaim your truth as found in your word. I pray that you will speak to hearts. Lord, we'll be talking mainly about each of us, we as a church, being more missionary, being better witnesses for you. And I pray you especially speak to your people this morning. But Lord, if there's anyone that needs Christ as their Savior, we pray that you would speak to their heart about the good news of Jesus. And we pray and ask this in His name. Amen. This morning we begin a new section of the book of Acts. Up to this point, Luke has been reporting about the founding and the growth of the early church. And what a wonderful church was established there in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands of people were brought to Christ as the apostles and others shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And now in Chapter 8, we read about the church beginning to branch outside of Jerusalem, going into Judea and Samaria and Galilee and even to other countries. And folks, that's the way it certainly should be. Jesus did say in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." And so beginning in chapter 8, we're going to see the church branching out to these other countries and other regions of Palestine in order to share the gospel with them. But what's interesting is what brought it to pass. It wasn't so much the church deciding that, hey, we need to get out of Jerusalem. We need to take the gospel to Judea. We need to take the gospel to Samaria. We need to take the gospel to other countries. Instead, it was persecution that kind of forced them out. And as they went out, they did indeed share the gospel everywhere they went. You know, I hope it doesn't take persecution in order to get us and other churches to be missionary like we really ought to be. I'm thankful for the progress that our church has made in becoming more of a missionary church. We have, especially the last 10, 15 years, have been sending out more mission teams. We have been more recently doing more into the local community, and we have an opportunity this coming week to reach out to the teachers at Ettrick Elementary School and read about that in the posters that are on the hall table and in the email and so forth. Our church has certainly done much more in terms of mission giving. We've gone from giving a few thousand dollars a year to mission causes to last year, $95,000 to mission causes. Yes, God has called us not just to minister to ourselves, but God has called us to reach out to the world. And this morning, we're going to see how the early church became much more missionary and how we too can become more missionary. Now, the first thing I want us to see from this text of Scripture is that we should recognize failure in being a missionary church. You know, the first step in correcting failure is to acknowledge it and to recognize it. And we're going to see how this church really, though they were very evangelistic in their city of Jerusalem, they were not yet very missionary outside of Jerusalem. You see, scholars tell us that the stoning of Stephen took place 4 to 6 years after the church was established. And so, for the first 4 to 6 years, all the evangelistic effort was focused in Jerusalem. It wasn't until we get to chapter 8 that finally the church was branching out into Judea, Samaria, and even unto other countries. And so the church was not very quick to heed the command of Jesus to take the gospel beyond Jerusalem, into Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And why is it that they failed? Why is it that they were slow? Why is it that we failed to become more the missionary church that we should be? First of all, we fail when we expect unbelievers to come to us. Most churches, at best, have a come-to-us form of evangelism. If you come to us, you will hear the gospel. If you come to us, you will hear the gospel in song. But it's largely dependent upon you coming to us, coming to our church building. Well, indeed, Jesus told the apostles to remain in Jerusalem until you are endowed with power from on high. It was God's will for them to start off in Jerusalem, win souls in Jerusalem, plant a church in Jerusalem. Why was that? It was because Jerusalem was the center to which Jews would come from all over the world. And indeed, on the day of Pentecost, there were Jews from all over the world. Many of them heard the gospel. Many of them were saved and became part of that church family. And then if you look in chapter 5 and verse 16, we read that a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And so people from the surrounding communities would come to Jerusalem for healing, and no doubt they would hear the gospel. So it was an effective form of evangelism to establish a church, especially in Jerusalem, where Jews would come from all over the world and they would hear the gospel. But the problem is, it was their only means of world evangelism. Sharing the gospel right there in Jerusalem. And again, most churches have mainly a come-to-us kind of evangelism. Now, it is a valid form of evangelism. We read in 1 Corinthians 14 how Paul expected unbelievers would come to the assembly and hear the gospel and come under the conviction and be saved. And people do come at Christmas and Easter and at other times, and when they come, they have the opportunity to hear the gospel, but the problem is, more and more people are not coming to church. If we don't take the gospel to them, if we don't get the gospel to them, then they're not going to hear the gospel. And certainly people in other countries where the gospel hasn't even penetrated yet, how are they going to hear unless someone preached to them, unless someone shared the gospel with them? When Jesus gave the Great Commission, He didn't say stay, He said go. And so we must go. And so we must realize that we cannot solely depend upon unbelievers to come to us. And we fail also when we prefer the comforts of home. You know, Jerusalem, no doubt, was a great church. I mean, they had the greatest preachers. And great preaching, great teaching, great worship. They had great ministries, discipleship. benevolence, taking care of widows and healing the sick. Listen, if you ever wanted to be a part of a great church, Jerusalem was a great church and no one wanted to leave it. And so God says, well, I'll help you leave it. I will allow this persecution to get you out of the comforts of home and out into the fields where they're white unto harvest. And so they were comfortable right where they were. And again, a lot of times Christians are very comfortable right where we are. And yet, there are times when God definitely wants us to get us out of our comfort and out into the community where people live. You know, if you really started to minister to people outside the four walls of this church, you would encounter people that have some big problems. And as a Christian, you would feel like, you know, I got to help them with these problems that they're facing, as well as share the gospel. And it's more comfortable to sit at home and to do whatever you do at home, but we cannot prefer the comforts of home if we are going to be missionary. And if God sends you to other states, if God sends you to other countries, it's certainly not going to be easy and it's certainly not going to be comfortable, but we must be willing to go. And so we need to recognize when we're spending too much at home, too much behind the four walls of this church and not enough out where we need to be. But secondly, we need to understand one cure for this failure for the early church, and it can even apply today, and that is persecution. Last week I shared about the martyrdom of Stephen, and it was such a tragic event. And yet we see how God can turn tragedy into triumph. How God can take something bad and turn it into something good, as Romans chapter 8:28 says. And indeed, God used this persecution to scatter the gospel witness all over the Roman Empire. And as we think about this persecution that God allowed and that God used to accomplish His purpose, think about the greatness of this persecution as described here. It all started with the death of Stephen. Folks, persecution had now reached the point of death and martyrdom. And it was broad in its participants. Before, it was just the ruling council that was doing the persecuting. But now this mob that killed Stephen was ready for more, to do more against the church. And it was becoming much more widespread. The persecution started with the Sadducees because they didn't like the preaching about the resurrection, which they did not believe in. Now it was spreading to the Pharisees who were seeing the church as a threat to the Jewish way of life and Jewish worship in the temple. And so the persecution was becoming hot and heavy, and many were involved in the persecution. It was also broad in its scope. Not only were they persecuting the apostles, but it says that they were dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Yes, the persecution was beyond the apostles. It was now to the Christian men and even the Christian women. And I can tell you, when mom and dad were hauled off to prison, the kids would have to find another home, have to find another place to live. Folks, it was getting very broad in its scope. It was also very intense. Verse 3 says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Yes, Saul led the way. He was a Hellenist Jew. He was probably part of the very synagogue that Stephen was trying to persuade to believe in Jesus. And he led the charge. And when it says that he was wreaking havoc, it's a word that means to lay waste, to destroy. Kind of like a bull in a china shop, you know, or a hurricane and how it can just lay waste, how a tornado can devastate anything in its path. That was the kind of picture of persecution and the intensity of it that we read here. In Acts chapter 26, we had to read a new detail that Saul tried to make Christians blaspheme the name of Jesus. You know, it's difficult to be a Christian and to be made fun of because you're a Christian. My son Andrew was a faithful Christian on the Colonial Heights baseball team, and some of his teammates would make fun of him because of his faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, that's one level of persecution, but to be hauled off to prison, even your wife hauled off to prison, going from house to house arresting people, that was how intense the persecution was. And so that intense level of persecution caused people to say, hey, why stay around? Jesus said, if they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. And so that's exactly what many people did. They fled from Jerusalem, as we read about here. Indeed, that was the result of this persecution. It says in verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Persecution just scattered the church of Jerusalem. They had thousands and thousands of members. It wasn't going to hurt the church to lose several thousand as they fled from Jerusalem. And you know, the old devil was in attack mode. It was like he was trying to put out the fire of the Spirit of God. But you know what can happen when you try to stamp out a fire? It can just spread the coals. And the fire can just spread all the more. And that's exactly what happened here. And Luke uses a particular word for scatter. You see, there's several words. This particular word refers to scattering seed. You ever picked up a dandelion and blown that dandelion and that seed just scatters and flies in all kinds of directions? That's the picture that we have here. They were just scattering them like seed. And it reminds me of what Tertullian, the early church father, said. He says that the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. You can attack us, you can kill us, and all you're going to do is just spread us. And the gospel is going to go forth even more. You know, this dispersion, diaspora in the Greek, is a word that was also used of the Jewish dispersion. You see, God took something bad, which was the sin and rebellion of Jews, and caused nations to attack them and to carry them off to other countries. But in the process, the Jewish nation, which should have been missionary, was spread throughout the Roman Empire. Synagogues sprang up throughout the Roman Empire. The truth of the one true God spread throughout the Roman Empire, and the diaspora of the Jews led to the preparation for receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a Jewish girl who was sold as a slave to Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army. Well, he got leprosy. And that little slave girl said, you know, there's a prophet in Israel that if you were to go see him, the God of Israel could heal you of your slavery. What faith from a little girl that God placed in another country. And sure enough, he went to see the prophet, and the final result was he was healed and he became a believer in the God of Israel. The Apostle Paul was later arrested and put in prison in Rome. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 1:12 that this actually has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. While he was in prison, he witnessed to the guards, and throughout the Praetorian Guard, many came to know Christ. Listen, if God takes you from your comfort and puts you somewhere else, moves you to a different city, moves you to a different job, moves you to a different school, then you need to understand that God is scattering His witness and He wants you to be a witness wherever you go. And that's the way it was with this early church. But you know, this persecution also brought out greater commitment to the Lord. That's what persecution does. It cleans the dross out of our lives and makes us red hot for Jesus. I tell you what, when persecution comes, you have to make a choice. Am I going to deny Christ and maintain my comfort, or am I going to stand for Jesus? Well, these believers stood for Jesus. And they remained faithful to Jesus in spite of the persecution. And I tell you, persecution, I'm afraid, is coming to this country. It's already starting. And you better decide right now if you're going to stand for Jesus or if you're going to choose your comfort over Jesus. Oh, listen, persecution can stir us up and make us even on fire for God and depend on God even more and pray even more. God can always use the difficulties in your life for good. It brought out greater commitment, but also gave opportunity to witness. That was true of Stephen. As they persecuted Stephen, they brought him before the council, and he had opportunity to witness to 70 of the most important leaders of the nation of Israel. And what a witness he gave. And as he was facing death, he gave a witness of the grace of God. He died seeing Jesus, having a vision of Jesus. What witness Stephen was able to give. It brought out a great opportunity to witness. Paul and Silas were arrested and beaten as they were sharing the gospel in Philippi. And they were thrown into prison. And the Bible says at midnight they were singing praise unto God. And no doubt they were praying for their persecutors. And that very night, God used their suffering as a witness and how they responded to it as a witness, so that the jailer got saved and probably some of the other prisoners got saved as well. And so I believe, as we see here, as God used the persecution, they were obedient and they began to share the Word of God. And I believe it's God's will for every Christian to be a witness. And so that leads, last of all, this morning to the exercise of evangelism and missions as we see here. As the church was persecuted, as it was scattered, we read in verse 4, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word." They went everywhere preaching the Word. Now there's some important principles I want us to see about being missionary, being evangelistic from this verse and this text of Scripture. And I want to ask three questions that I want to answer from this text of Scripture. First of all, who should engage in missionary service? Well, the answer is not just the preachers, not just those who have volunteered to be full-time missionaries. Notice it says in verse 1, who was scattered abroad? Verse 1 says, at the end of the verse, except the apostles. And so verse 4 doesn't describe the activity of the apostles. It describes the activity mainly of the Hellenistic Jews that were driven out of Jerusalem. All Christians went everywhere proclaiming the message of the gospel. Now, why weren't the apostles run out of Jerusalem? Perhaps they were still giving heed to Gamaliel's advice. Perhaps God saw to it that they were enabled to stay in Jerusalem because He had His own purpose for keeping them there in Jerusalem. We don't know for sure, but they stayed and the others were the ones who went out. And so who is it that should engage in missionary service? Not just the preachers, but the lay people of the church, as we see clearly indicated in verse 4. We read in chapter 8 that Philip went out to Samaria. He was a deacon. We read about the witness of Stephen in chapter 6 and chapter 7. And all these others that went everywhere preaching the word were basically lay people. You say, well, hold on, preacher. It says in verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. Your translation may have it differently because there's a good reason. The word preached in verse 4 and the word preached in verse 5 are two different words. In verse 4, it means simply to share the good news of the word. Whereas verse 5, it does refer to a public heralding of the gospel. Philip went out preaching publicly. But this word in verse 4 simply means to share the good news. And they probably did it, some publicly like Philip did, but others in a conversational way. I can imagine as they were maybe heading back to their home where they originally came from, on the way they would stay at different places and meet people and say, hey, have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? Have you heard about His miracles? Have you heard about His death on the cross? Have you heard that He was raised from the dead? Have you heard about the gift of the Holy Spirit and fulfillment of prophecy? Let me tell you about Jesus. They were proclaiming the gospel, I'm sure, in a very conversational way. It wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't just the preachers. It was everybody involved in sharing the gospel. And that's the way it ought to be today. Suppose your neighbor's house were to catch fire, and it's a two-story house, and the top floor and even the bottom floor is beginning to be engulfed in flames, and the neighbor is yelling out the window, they're trapped, they've got to get out, and you've got one of those extension ladders, but you say to yourself, you know what, I'm just going to call the professionals to come in and save my neighbor. Would that be the right thing to do when you got a ladder and you can help that person right now before it's too late? No, listen, God has called us all to share the gospel, not just pastors, not just missionaries, not just evangelists, but we see clearly an example of all believers sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so will you accept the challenge to be one of those believers that understands that it's my job also to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, our Southern Baptist mission agencies have all kinds of opportunities, all the way from disaster relief to going on short-term mission trips. You have opportunity to go. And if you need help, we can even help finance your trip if you're just willing to go and be on mission for Jesus Christ. But not only who should engage in missionary service, but where we should engage in missionary service. They didn't just stay in Jerusalem, but they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. We read in chapter 9 and verse 31 that they also went to Galilee and planted churches there. And notice verse 4, it says they went everywhere. Literally, they passed through as they were going. As they were passing through, they shared the gospel with people that they met and people that they encountered. And so God wants us to always be on mission for Him. Wherever God places us, wherever we go, we are to be a witness for Him. You know, sometimes, again, God will send you out from where you are because He wants you to be a witness somewhere else. 31 years ago, I had no plans of leaving Georgia. And when Dr. Patterson told me about the need for conservative pastors in Virginia, my first thought, and Cheryl knows it, not Virginia. You know, that's too far away. I don't think so. I was thinking, but, you know, God used a difficult circumstance in my life to open my heart to say yes. And I believe, of course, God was in it. We must be willing to be a witness wherever God places us. And in chapter 9 and verse 2, we see Christians went to Damascus, Syria. In chapter 11, verse 19, it says that the believers that were scattered from the persecution of Stephen went to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. They established a great church there. And so we should be on mission. Our Acts 1:18 is planning or scheduling to have an international mission trip in 2019. And when that opportunity is given, I hope you will seriously consider being on mission for the Lord. At some point, Drew is going to be on mission, of all places, Portland, Oregon, a godless city where the need is great. And he understands that our responsibility is not just to stay, but to go and be a witness wherever the Lord sends us. And finally, the final question I have for us is, why should we engage in missionary service? Why should we do it? First of all, because of an appeal from above. Jesus Christ, before He left this earth, gave His great commission to go to the nations, make disciples of the nations. He was exalted and seated at the right hand of God. He is clearly Lord, and we must obey Him. The church must be on mission to the nations. We have an appeal from above. We also have an appeal from below. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man in hell said, "Listen, I've got five brothers. Will you send Lazarus to tell them, lest they come to this place?" Yes, there's an appeal from below. There's an appeal from without. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36, "Look into the fields. Look about you. There is sheep having no shepherd. They need the gospel. People are lost. People are so lost out there. I tell you, folks, it's getting worse. You know, I mean, there was a time when the cultural impact of Christianity was widespread in society. And folks, that day is past. And people, you know, so many people are addicted to drugs and alcohol, and their lives are a mess. And listen, the need is great. The need is great. Think about the need out there and the appeal from within. Yes, from within, the Holy Spirit will prompt us to be witness for Him. Hasn't there been a time in your life as a Christian where the Holy Spirit prompted you to speak to someone? Hopefully you did, and yet probably all of us can say, yeah, there have been times when I didn't. Yes, we must be witnesses. We must be missionaries for the Lord. Will you answer the call this morning? Don't wait until God brings some difficulty in your life in order to make you a witness. Learn how to be a witness. Be willing to do mission and evangelism right here in the community. Visiting, hospitality evangelism, whatever form it will take. Just be willing. Be willing. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are sovereign. And through Your providence, You scattered Your church throughout the Roman Empire, and the gospel spread. Churches were established. Lord, help us not wait until difficulty comes into our lives in order to get us to move, to be on mission for You. Lord, help us to be obedient unto You, to be witnesses unto You. And I pray in this time of invitation that every Christian in this building will recommit themselves to being a witness for Jesus Christ. And I pray for anyone in this building who doesn't yet know Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day they witness what Christ did for them on the cross, paying for every sin they've ever committed. And I pray, Lord, that You would save souls today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.